As Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, come and let us magnify the Lord together and exalt His name upon this earth. Amen?
Amen.
Would you pray with me? Father, we pause at this time to just come before You, and we come in only one name, and therefore we can come boldly. We come because of Jesus. We come because of Your amazing grace. We come because of His shed blood. And I stand before You today as righteous as I could possibly be because of You, because of Your Son, what You've done. And we want to magnify You. We want to exalt You and what You've done in a life that we're going to celebrate today. We can't help but praise You and thank You and rejoice, for this day is one that You've given us to rejoice in, to be glad in, to celebrate in. And we ask for Your help as we approach You, as we sing to You, as we testify to Your amazing grace and the treasure that You've placed within us and what You've given to us and our faithful friend and sister and co-laborer who is with You, rejoicing in Your presence today, celebrating with all the saints of heaven Your splendor and wonder and glory and majesty. So thank You. We praise You and ask for Your help. Ask for You to touch every family member, every friend, every brother and sister that knew Miss Robbie Faye Briggs. Touch their life. Continue to illuminate and impact their lives with what You've done in her life and how You used her. So we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. We come today to celebrate. Celebrate. We have something to celebrate. Amen.
Amen.
We have something to celebrate. The Pharisees and the scribes one day asked Jesus, they tried to catch Him in a little thing about a man that had gone on and his wife married a brother and another brother and another brother and said, who will she be in the resurrection? And Jesus said, oh, you fools, you do not know the power of God, nor do you know the scriptures. For God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. Amen. And today we celebrate a life that is more alive than ever before of what God has done for our sweet sister. Amen. Now, it's a challenge for us on this end, no doubt. And that's that paradox of life, of how God works in us, that we rejoice and are glad-hearted for her, but are left with grief on our side. But we're praying for the joys and the triumphs and the testimonies to overcome that grief with the presence and the power of God's grace and His mercies. Amen. 84 years old, just shy of a few days. Now, something that Mama Rob knows that I would say to her is that we just going to say Mama Rob's 85. She died at 85. She was in that womb for 9 months. Amen. She's heard me say, we don't call little ones fetuses around here. They are what?
Babies.
They're what?
Babies.
They are alive and living babies within the womb. And she lived 9 months before she ever breathed the first breath in this world. So she's 85. She was 85 years old. Amen. 85 years old. She is a lady that was dedicated to everything she did. I'm going to read some of the things that the family shares with us in the obituary, which says that Miss Robbie worked a large part of her life at Livingston University before leaving to take care of her parents and her family, which she did so well. Following her parents' death, she was the secretary for the Porterville Water Association until her retirement. Mama Rob was a faithful servant, a trustworthy steward. I'm going to add that in there. A trustworthy steward and a member of Briggs Chapel, where she was our pianist for over 50 years. She would be truly missed by all of us, specifically her family and friends and anyone that knew her. She was survived by her children, and she looked at every one of you, daughter-in-laws, son-in-laws, granddaughter-in-laws and son-in-laws and everybody else. She looked at everybody as her child. As her child. One of the neat things that as a pastor of this sweet lady is that she honored me as her pastor. She honored me as her pastor, but she also saw me as her own son. And she treated me on both levels of both ways. Just a unique, unique, unique person. She is survived by Greg and Janet Briggs, Pam and Keith Palmer, Karen Briggs and grandchildren, Brian and Tony, Justin and Kara, Briggs, Blake and Amy, Brittany and Lucas, Brandon and Sarah Beth, or Boo, great-grandchildren, Kobe and Haley, Cypress and Hadley Jane and Palmer Lee and Maddie Walker and Chloe and Noah and Shiloh and Luke and Hutch and Adam, and a host of extended family and friends. She was preceded in death by her husband over 30 years, who she loved dearly, who she served her family from those days on, Mr. Louis Briggs, her parents, Jack and Kathy Aust, her son, Bill Briggs, and grandson, Steve Briggs. Let us pray again. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the witness that you've given us, for the light that you manifested through her life, for the legacy that will be left, and oh, the deep impact of love she shared, showed, and served everybody that she meant. Help us with this today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Whatever it takes, I'd be willing to do. One of the things that I, as a pastor, get to do is go through and dig in the Word of God of those that have passed through this world. We've been talking about that a lot lately. And we're passing through. We're just passing through. We're on our way to a homeland. We're on our way to a builder and a maker. We're on our way to a person. We're on our way to see Jesus. Mama Rob knew that. She embraced that. She was sure of that. She confessed that. And she declared plainly, plainly. You didn't have to wonder who she loved. You didn't have to wonder what she treasured. Her heart was exactly where Jesus said, you find a man's heart, you're going to find his treasure. You find his treasure, you'll find his heart. And she treasured Jesus. And the evidence of that was clear in how she loved and served. But I have these two of her latest Bibles. I would imagine of 85 years of living, 84 on this earth, with breath in her, that she's had a few Bibles through the years. And she loved testifying again and again how she grew up in the church, grew up under the Word of God, and how a specific lady invested in her and invested a Bible study in her, and how it was in that time that God opened her heart to the understanding of who she was, what Christ had done for her, and His redeeming and all-sufficient grace, and it transformed her life. Stephanie was just testifying the other day how in Sunday school, and she gets choked up every time she would share it, of how a specific person took time to invest not only in her but into other young ladies and sowing in the Word of God. And even though she had influence already in the Word and was exposed to it, God opened her understanding to hear the message of the gospel, and it transformed her life. And when I go through her Bibles, these last two Bibles that she had, look at them. She used them. Duct tape. You do what you got to do, right? When you have a word that you want to, you enjoy and you get in and you walk through, these are going to be a treasure for y'all to go through and to glean from and to pull out from. She didn't write long, detailed notes. She wrote little bullet notes all the way through. You could see them. She would write when people would share. She would write when people would preach and the date and the time. She would write little nuggets in there. And I was looking in this particular older Bible. This is the Bible I remember when I came. I remember the first Sunday coming here where she sat. Remember seeing this blue Bible sitting in her lap. And it wasn't long after that, she got her a new Bible. Bill and Karen bought her a new Bible. Bill and Karen bought her this Bible. And they have a note in there, and I'm just going to read what it says. It says, Mama Rob, thank you for the love and the kindness you give to each of us. You never fail to be there for us when we need you. And for that, we are truly grateful. We know the depths of God's love by His gift to us in you. All our love, Bill, Karen, Steve, and Brian in 1998. And then Britt left her a little note, who she refers to as MIP. Says, Mama Rob, thank you for everything you do for me. You've always been there for me with words of encouragement or just a loving hand. I look up to you in every way and hope to be half the Christian lady that you are. I love you so much and hope to spend many, many more times with you. But as I just peruse through this word, you come across little things like in the front of it. She has this, and this is a word for y'all. Now, she's preaching her own funeral. Mama Rob preached her own funeral like the rest of us do. Some just preach better than others. Are you with me? She preached a good message. She really did, because she pointed to a good messenger. She pointed to a good Savior and a good master that she followed. But as I read these, I want you to think of them in her words to you, because some of them are going to be very applicable that she applied to herself that she would want you to hear as a family and as friends. There's always a reason for that unexpected cross. There's always a reason for that unexpected cross. The cross, the assignment, the mission, that God places on us. There's always a reason for it. Just as there's a reason in where we are today, that we would bear this in the strength and the power and the might and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. She would want you to see the reason in all this today. Another little note. It says, if I see God in everything, He will calm and color everything I see. That's a word. It's a word that she lived by. When you see God in everything, you can't see God in everything if you can't see God. And if you can't see God, you won't see Him because you're not in His revelation of how God sees things. But if you spend time with Him, you'll see things how He sees things. And when you see it His way, it calms and colors everything the way He sees it. And that's a revelation. Cling to that. Cling to that. She had a little note in here that had beside it, Brother Nick says, God always delivers us from something to deliver us to something. He never takes us out of something without placing us in something. God's not an accidental God. Amen? There's a few more things, and I'm not going to actually journey through each one just because there's so much that I just picked out. We could spend a long time here today. Amen? Of all that she had jotted down in these Bibles and the scriptures and the various places that she wrote it. I noticed in this blue Bible on several occasions, she liked that little phrase, don't let your mess ups mess you up. Need to remember that, amen? Don't let your mess ups mess you up. In this other Bible, she had it written like this. She said, my mess ups don't have to mess me up. My mess ups don't have to mess me up. I just picked out a few things for us because I know she loved everybody and she wanted everybody to seek the Lord first in their life. And in 2 Chronicles 12:16, this is in her handwriting. She wrote in there, Ahab, King Ahab, never did he seek the Lord. And that was a reflection in his life. Rehoboam, she had put down beside his name in 2 Chronicles 12. He did what he thought was right, but wasn't prepared right because his way was not God's way. And she had underscored in there, Greg, on several occasions under that, where it says he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. See, if we don't prepare our heart to seek the Lord, we can do what we think is right, but what we do, it won't be right because it's not God's way because we didn't seek God first. And she wants us to know that. She had under that a little phrase that I use with our daughters that I've shared. It said, don't be scared, just be prepared. Don't be scared, just be prepared. You see, to live life right, you don't have to be scared about life. You don't have to be scared about sin. You don't have to be scared about sorrow. We don't have to be scared about death. We just need to be prepared for it. And there's only one way to prepare for death, and that's with Jesus. Amen? Don't be scared. Be prepared. Now, that didn't mean that Mama Rod didn't take a burden on her. She was burdened. If you knew her, not only were she blessed by knowing where you were and what you were going through in life, but she would take on the burden to intercede and pray for you. She was burdened for me. She was concerned for me with having cancer, knowing that I was starting chemo treatments. Started chemo on Monday. She was burdened by that. She was concerned that I was going to die before she died. She thought the preacher was going to die before she died. And we've all tried to reassure every one of us that our days are in the hands of the Lord. Amen? They're already determined. Every one of them. They've all been written in a book, the scripture says. And we can rest in that. Find comfort in that. But she was burdened. Burdened for me. She was just burden for people because she loved people. She loved people. She took that on herself. When life is slippery, we take short steps to keep our feet under us. This is slippery times. It will be slippery times. Tomorrow, when this rain moves in, tonight, the ground's going to get wet. You can't just get out there and run like a wild heathen. Are you with me? Your feet are going to come out from under you, and you can't live life that way. When things get slippery in life and going through trials and troubles, the furnace, things get slippery. And we just take short, steadfast steps with the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, she had this written up top. We are epistles of Jesus. Written letters upon our hearts to express the love, the light, and the loyalty of Jesus. This lady was a written letter from Jesus to us. God had written the law of His love upon her heart, and she expressed it very well. She had this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 15. God is refining us today. That's a word for us. God is refining us today. This is a trial, a test, a furnace. And fire either burns or it blesses. Fire either ruins or it refines. Fire either harms or it heals. You see, that which is impure when it goes through the fire becomes fuel and is consumed. But that which is pure in the furnace gets blessed by the fire because the dross gets burned off. That which would hurt you or ruin you gets burned off and it refines us. And it all depends on what we're made of, whether it blesses or burns. I think about those three Hebrew boys that went into the fire. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they went into the fire? The only thing that got burned on them, fam, was that which the world put on them. Outside of that, what they went in and the power of God's name, they walked out of there without a smell, without a stench. The fire had no power over them. Why? Because of what they were made of. Who they were living for and who they looked to. You know what they told Nebuchadnezzar? Whether that fire burns us or not, we're not bowing the knee to you. And whether that fire burns you or not, you don't have to bow the knee to death. You don't have to bow the knee to the grave. You don't have to bow the knee to sorrow and pain and hurt. Why? Jesus has overcome it all. Amen? Amen. He has overcome it all. And that's why she had in her Bible, in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, we can always help others no matter what. No matter what they are facing, because of God's comfort. God's common comfort in our life. Ephesians 4, she said, don't put off on someone what you can do. And what did she have it next to? Listen to this. Walk worthy of your calling. Be humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love, eager to be the one to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of love of Jesus. You know what she said in that? Don't wait on somebody else to do it. Don't put it off on somebody else. You take the lead. You take the lead. Don't put off on somebody else what you can do, and that is to love people first. Don't wait on them to love you. Amen? Love them first. She had above that, doing good things for wrong reasons has no reward. Doing good things for the wrong reason has no reward. I'll follow that up in just a moment. Over in Isaiah 43:1, she had at the top of that passage, Pam, it said, comfort my people. So today I take that as a personal word. Not only was she hearing from God and that God gave a word to Isaiah to comfort His people, but I'm taking that personal today. Not only do we comfort God's people with His word, but she's saying, comfort my people with this. Comfort them with this. She had next to that, He is the first and He is the last. He is the faithful and true witness. He has the first word over us. He will have the last word over us. Amen? Not the enemy. Not this life. Not this old world. But Jesus. And besides Isaiah 43:7, she had out in notations pointing to her. She says, this is me. And this is a comfort. This is what the passage says. Whom I've called by my name, whom I've created for my glory, and whom I've carefully formed and made. And she had that next to it and said, this is me. This is me. That's a comfort. She took that personal, that these words were meant for her. Over Luke chapter 10 and verse number 25 through 37, it says this. It says, who can I help today? That was her, Greg. Who could I help today? Brian, that was her. That was in that Good Samaritan passage where the thieves had robbed a man and left him half dead, naked in the ditch, and then the priest and the Levite come by and didn't do anything for him, and then the Good Samaritan shows up and he helped him. So she said, who can I help today? See, if we're not asking those questions, when we come across a need, we're going to keep passing that need right on up. Amen? So if we think about that, of just some of this advice that she's given us, of who can I help today? In Mark chapter number 2, when those friends brought their friend who was crippled to Jesus, who couldn't bring himself, who physically couldn't get to Jesus, she had out beside those, what is crippling you? Number 2, she had, who is carrying you and your need to Jesus? Then she had, who or what needs of others are you carrying to Jesus? Are your friends men and women of faith? These are questions that she had out beside that. Do you know anyone that needs to be forgiven of sin and reconciled to God? See, she's thinking of people who she can bring and carry them to Jesus. In Luke chapter number 17, in dealing with this idea of faith, the scripture says that Jesus said, if your brother sins against you 7 times or 70 times, you do what? You forgive. What did the disciples then respond? Oh, help us increase our faith. Jesus said it really wasn't a matter of that. It was a matter of faith, to understand faith. Faith comes in hearing something. He said, if you said to that mulberry tree to be plucked up and be planted in the sea, it's going to obey you. It's going to do it. It's going to do it. And then he illustrated something in that. He said these words. He said, what if a servant had been working in the field all day long and he come home and his master told him to take a seat and let him drink and eat, and after he's drunk and ate, he then will take care of his master. And Jesus said, how do you think that would work out? You think it would play out that way? And all the disciples said, no, it wouldn't go that way. He said, how would it go? The servant would come in after doing what he's been doing all day. He would take care of the master, and after the master's been taken care of, what would the servant do? Then he would take care of himself. And Jesus said these words, you likewise, when you've done all that you've been commanded or asked or told to do, you just say, we're unprofitable servants. We just did what our master asked us to do. That's the living testimony of your mama. She held no grudges. She was willing to forgive. See, you hold grudges, you can't love people. Can't love people like she loved people. She was willing to forgive. There was no grumpiness about her. You didn't hear her complaining about doing her work, did you? Even when she was bent over, hurting, doing all that she could, I can still see her going up and down this road in her buggy. We prayed for her every day that nobody run over. Y'all did too. They tried to take the keys away from her from a time or two. That wasn't going to work. They get her buggy. They let her go. She'd be riding down here. She's bent over. Her back's got her humped over. But she's riding along the road picking up trash hanging out the side of that golf cart. She'd keep that road clean out there. She'd take her little spin. She'd ride down the road and take care of the laundry at Greg and Janet's and at Karen and Bill's and then down at Keith and Pam's and whoever else needed something done. If we were gone, she was down here checking the mail. If Sandy and Davin were gone, she was feeding horses and dogs and goats and cats and mules and everything else. It was just a year ago she was still pulling calves with Bill. And she never complained. I would watch her go in the back here, turn on the hot water, and put her hands under that faucet to warm her hands up to straighten them out to be able to come out here and play that piano. She never moped. She never brought attention to herself. You know why? She didn't live for vainglory. She was selfless, sacrificial, servant. She loved. And she only learned that from Jesus. Amen? She learned that from Jesus. So that's light. That's legacy. That's a love that she manifested before us all. Because of who she believed in, why she trusted him, why she lived for him, and why she wanted the rest of us to know who he was, who he is, and what he's done for her. Amen. John 14, which is, she's got above it, mine and Mips. Favorite passage. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, many mansions, many dwellings. If it were not so, would I have not told you that? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Oh, I knew she was excited about the place. I knew she was excited about the people that she was going to get to see again and celebrate with. But more than any of that, when we really look at what Jesus is saying and what he said to her, she was excited about the person of who she would get to see. She was going to see him. Heaven's about him. Amen. Amen. Yeah, he's preparing us a place. But if you read through the, remember, they asked him, how do we know the way? How do we go? He says, you know the way. You've seen the Father. If you've seen me, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the what? Father except what? Through me. See, it's always about the person. If you focus on a place without a person, you'll never get to the place. She knew that, amen? She knew that. It was about a person. It was about a person that she would enter into a relationship with, a person she would walk with, a person she was going to. And that person would be faithful to take care of the place, but it was the person that she lived for, that she rejoiced in. And therefore, we get to be blessed by it. Amen. Mm. I loved your mama, your grandmother. She loved me, I knew that. I regret I didn't eat a praline at Christmas. And a haystack. She kept me supplied. She got me into diabetes, I believe. She loved us. She loved us all well. She loved my bride. My children. My grandchildren. We're here right now celebrating her life while God's bringing in another grandchild for us today in Hawaii. She would want to be here to celebrate with us. Amen. But she's much better off than we are. And we can't help but celebrate for her. And walk through this journey in this furnace with y'all. And we're going to see God refine us. We're going to see Him bless us. We're going to see Him heal us. And this is going to carry. And His name's going to be glorified. Father, we thank You. Every single person here has their own message of this faithful servant, of how You influenced them, how You touched them, how You loved on them through her. They may have not have known exactly where it all came from. But I pray today, the Lord, You'll speak life. The life that You spoke into her. The life You spoke in to my sister. You'll speak into those in this place that have not heard from You yet. That You would, with Your common presence and comfort, bless this family and meet with them and meet with our church family, with these friends, with all of us. That we would set our affection and gaze upon You. And that You would keep us in that perfect peace. That we would take the lead and not wait for others to love, but we would love first. Be gentle and kind and gracious. That there'd be no grudges in our life so that we can be forgiving and loving and kind and not grumblers. It doesn't influence and impact anybody with the light. And that we would do things for Your glory and not ourselves. That people would see You in us. I seen You in this woman. I recognized Your voice in her. I've seen Your presence through her life. She couldn't quit looking to You, no matter what. You were her rock, her refuge, her sanctuary, her king, her master, her friend, her confidant. Her courage, her commitment. We bless You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.